Local fishermen free a whale entangled in a net, and a look at the season so far for those fishermen across Southeast. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A whale was successfully freed from a gill net Wednesday and swam away looking healthy, according to the fishermen that snagged it. Coy Taylor of the fishing vessel Driftwood was fishing in Twin Cove when the juvenile humpback got caught in his gill net. Taylor said it was too difficult to cut the whale free out on the fishing grounds. He said his only option was to tow the whale back to Letnikoff Cove, which took about 6 hours.
He was a little fighter. It's best for him to do what we did. We couldn't handle the situation out there, you know.
He called local commercial fishery biologist Randy Bachman to ask what to do. Bachman put Taylor in touch with the NOAA Whale Entanglement Response Team in Juneau. NOAA, in turn, contacted the Coast Guard, asking for assistance in transporting its team to Haines. Then NOAA called Gershon Cohn, the local contact for the Whale Entanglement Response Team. Cohen and other local volunteers have been trained to act as first responders to whale entanglements in their communities. This was only the second whale entanglement to occur since a local group of volunteers were trained last summer. Cohen went to Letnikoff Cove and found that Taylor and other fishermen had already successfully cut the whale free and reported it swam away on its own. They contacted NOAA and the Coast Guard, who were en route, but then returned to Juneau. Taylor said most of the gear was tangled near the whale's tail. It left with a little gear still on, but Cohen said that hopefully shouldn't affect the whale.
You know, a lot of times you want to leave a little bit of gear on there if you can't get it all, just because then the whale has something it can rub on the bottom, or it can rub up against something and try to snag it and pull the rest of the way off.
Untangling a whale is no easy task and can be dangerous, says Cohen, because whales are powerful animals that can get stressed, tired, and unpredictable when tangled. Cohen said that's why the response team is available when needed.
What I'd like to stress to folks is that, you know, they should be careful because of the danger of the situation, and they should not hesitate to call NOAA or call me. You know, it's not, there's no legal issues here. It's, you know, there's no wrongdoing on the part of the fishermen.
With as many fishermen and whales as there are in Lynn Canal, whale encounters and entanglements will continue to be a concern, Cohen said.
But, you know, it's something that happens on, unfortunately, a pretty regular basis. I mean, we have a lot of fishermen and we've got a lot of whales. The whales are here for the same reason the fishermen are here, and there's going to be interactions from time to time.
While glad for a happy ending for the whale, Taylor now has to turn to fixing his net so he, too, can get back to fishing.
It was my brand new one, only a second opening on it.
But as he says,
hey, it's all part of the game.
For more information on whale entanglements, visit the NOAA website under Alaska Fisheries and Protected Resources. We've also posted a link to that site on our KHNS News webpage. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday, and one of the agenda items is to discuss comment for the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority regarding a potential new ore terminal user. ADA currently has a contract with one company using the ore terminal, that's Minto Explorations. ADA recently notified the municipality that it is in negotiations with a possible second user, Eagle Whitehorse, which is developing a project to extract magnetite from mine tailings at the old Whitehorse copper mine. Eagle Whitehorse would like to stockpile magnetite in the ore terminal for shipping. ADA notes in its letter that the Eagle project is not expected to last more than 6 years, but ADA is working on plans to expand the terminal storage building this fall to accommodate the project. The state agency hopes to complete negotiations with the municipality and have its board approve the $7.5 million expansion in the coming weeks. ADA is soliciting comments from Skagway on the project. The assembly will also consider a resolution approving a recycled products purchasing policy. The policy would require the municipality and departments to consider cost, feasibility, and durability to purchase and use recycled products whenever possible. The Assembly also has an executive session planned to discuss White Pass and ADA lease negotiations and conduct borough manager and clerk evaluations. The Skagway Assembly meets at 7 p.m. Thursday in Skagway Assembly Chambers. You can find a complete agenda and meeting packet online at skagway.org. Early returns of hatchery chum salmon have meant a good start to Southeast Alaska's commercial net fisheries this summer. The Perce Seine fleet has been hauling in dog salmon returning to hatcheries in the northern and central part of the region. As chum runs slow down, the first returns of an expected strong pink salmon run are showing up in the commercial catch. Joe Vicnicki reports.
The total catch for Southeast commercial fishing fleets by the end of the second week in July topped 8.5 million salmon, with nearly 5 million of those chums. Those dogs have been overall the most lucrative salmon species in the region in recent years, and every gear group is getting in on that action. Southeast Perce Seine fleet has been fishing for 2 days a week, Thursdays and Sundays, and boats have had a choice for hatchery chums this year: Hidden Falls east of Sitka or Amalga Harbor north of Juneau. Steve Reifenstuhl is general manager of the Sitka-based Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, which owns the Hidden Falls hatchery on eastern Baranof Island. Seine fishing started in Fish and Game's statistical week 25, and Reifenstuhl notes the Hidden Falls chums showed up early and in big numbers.
In week 25, it was the most fish we'd ever seen in our entire history at Hidden Falls, and then week 26 was the second largest week we'd ever seen. I still wasn't thinking it was going to be a huge run. I was just thinking it was early. I mean, it's always nice to think it's going to be huge, but sometimes it's just early, and that's what it appears it is an early peak, but it's got a longer tail than I was thinking it might have.
Reifenstuhl expects to meet NSRA's forecast of 1.3 million chums at Hidden Falls.
Well, I've been wondering that and worrying about it for a while, but I am certain we're going to make it. As a matter of fact, fish are coming in from the south and starting to get into DeKalb's Bay. So I think we're going to get another pretty good shot of fish. I expect we will perhaps hit 1.5 million.
Boats not heading to Hidden Falls have had openings at Amalga Harbor, catching chums returning to the Juneau-based Douglas Island Pink and Chum, or DIPAC. Executive Director Eric Prestigard says the fleet had a huge opening there July 4th.
That was quite a surprise one, the first one. Probably close to 5 million pounds of fish, maybe 650,000 fish, which that was much bigger than we had thought, and I think anybody had thought. So that was quite a surprise, and quite a good surprise for a lot of folks. I think that's, yeah, great economic boom to the same fleet, to this, you know, to Juneau and to all the processors. It's great. We're happy.
Seine catches in Amalga Harbor have dropped since then, but Prestigard says DIPAC has already hit its chum forecast and is hoping for more.
We were forecasting about 2.7 million, our point estimate, 2.7 million chums. We can easily account for that already. Was a very early start, definitely a strong early start to the run this year. And it seems like just about everybody's getting some of them.
Everybody, meaning all gear groups, with the troll fleet topping 300,000 chums in the home shore area of Icy Strait. And strong DIPAC chum catches for the gillnet fleets in Taku Inlet and Lynn Canal. Meanwhile, it's forecast to be another big year for pink salmon. Fish and Game is estimating a commercial catch of 54 million humpies this summer. Bill Davidson, Regional Salmon Management Coordinator for Fish and Game, says so far the fish are cooperating.
The pinks are showing up as we would expect. Maybe some different patterns are going to evolve out of this season with where they show up, but the pinks are seem to be there, and we're just early into the run, and the chums are likewise kind of, I think, roughly on track.
233 Seine boats landed fish in the second week in July, helping Southeast's pink catch reach 2.9 million fish. The big catches of the peak pink season typically happen in late July and early August. Meanwhile, the gillnet fleet has been fishing for 3 or 4 days a week, depending on the areas. Gillnetters did not get to fish in the early season on king salmon returning to the transboundary rivers. Those are the Taku near Juneau and the Stikine near Wrangell. Davidson says weak Chinook returns have meant less fishing opportunity in places like District 6 and 8 around Petersburg and Wrangell.
Both of the two transboundary rivers there have been on the weak side as expected this year, and we've taken action. We opened up 6 and 8 late and had restrictions on area off the river mouth to help conserve those fish.
Likewise, the gillnet fleet around the Taku has seen restrictions. The in-season forecast for that river is for a return of 19,000 kings. Managers are forecasting a return of about 22,000 on the Stikine. Despite weak forecasts, gillnetters in District 8 around Petersburg and Wrangell caught 1,000 king salmon the second week in July, with an average of 50 Chinook per boat. The fleet in District 6 around the north end of Prince of Wales Island caught a mixed bag of sockeye, coho, pink, and chum. Overall, the second week in July saw gillnetters landing over 600,000 fish. 480,000 of those were chums, and most of those dogs were caught in Districts 11 and 15 around Juneau and Lynn Canal. Only 60 boats were fishing on the southern end near Ketchikan, but those gillnetters averaged around 80 pinks and 1,000 chums for that second week. And an opening in the first week in July saw the gillnet fleet net 651,000 salmon, again mostly chums. Around 400 gillnetters made landings that week, and nearly half were fishing in Lynn Canal. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Joe Vicnicki for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.